The rest of you, if you look in 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 1. That's heavy duty there, ain't it? To help the babies. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. We're talking about the vow of Hannah. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thine wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thine handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eli answered and said, Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, Let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord, and returned and came to their house of Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, Because I have asked him of the Lord. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah her husband said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good, tarry until thou hast weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him into the house of the Lord in Shiloh, and the child was young. And they slew a bullock and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So, we're talking about a great mother this morning, a mother named Hannah. And I think we would all agree, mothers are perhaps the most powerful influence, force, on the face of the earth. I really believe that. I believe a mother really, honestly needs to realize the great responsibility that she has for her child or children. Now, America's anchor is dragging, amen? I mean, we're drifting. And what is the anchor? What holds the home? It's the motherhood. Motherhood is one of the most important things that happens. And, of course, raising your children. There's so many people that are raising children, and then others have children and let somebody else raise them. Let me say this morning. No one's going to take the interest and the love that you are going to take for your own child. Amen. I mean, no one's going to do a better job than the Christian mother. Now, if you're a mother and you're on drugs or alcohol or whatever, then you have to think outside of yourself. You have to think for that child. And perhaps that child needs to be placed somewhere where they're going to be safe, they're going to be protected, at least until you get help. That's one thing about the Southern Baptist. They have a children's home. And a lot of parents, they get in trouble. They have children and they don't have finances, and next thing you know, they're really in trouble. And this Baptist children's home, they take those children and they put them in a wonderful Christian environment, and they teach them all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But they actually keep them and raise them until the point to where perhaps you can come back and say, okay, everything's good now. We've got a place. We've got something to offer our children. But the bottom line, it takes a great mother to be willing to place their child where they're going to benefit the most. You would think that they would benefit the most in their mother's arms, but not necessarily so. And there's a lot of grandparents that are being parents to their grandkids. I mean, it's happening. Thank you so much for stepping up, because it's not about us, it's about the children, amen? And the most important thing is those children taken care of. So thank God for those people that step in there, and stepmoms, stepdads, or whoever it might be, that place in their heart those children that they'll take care of them. Now, there's a war against motherhood in America. Do you know that? And the result is immorality, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, militant feminism, juvenile delinquency. All this comes as a trace back to the home that's neglected by the mother. Amen. I'm telling you. Now, there's going to be Father's Day's coming, but right now it's Mother's Day. Thank God for those mothers. But I can verify, and it's not with joy, but I can verify how hard it is for a child to be reared up in a non-Christian home. I was that child. I was raised up in drunkenness and a lot of, wasn't drugs, but alcohol, and I could write a book. So alcohol is not a good thing. Drugs is not a good thing. If you're going to have children, it's time to grow up. Amen. Be mature. If you're still young and stupid, the last thing you need to do is bring a child into this world that someone else is going to have to try to take care of. Or perhaps no one takes care of them. It's really hard. So I'll say this, it's true that the head of the home is the father, but it's equally true that the heart of the home is the mother. And the mother makes such a difference in that home. When you look and you think about, if you have a Christian mother, you really ought to be thankful to God for that. I thank God because I understand now, through going through the hardship, I understand what some families are going through. Our families are going through crisis. And right now, as hard as things are getting, I'm sure that there's some families that are struggling to be able to keep food on the table. I went to the grocery store the other day and got my snack packs and stuff. Got my little Debbie's and all that stuff. By the time I got out there, it was like $70. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't know what I bought. There would have been enough junk to last me at least a week. But the bottom line is it's so expensive. So we feel, as far as your heart, you really want to take care of your family, you want to feed your family. But if you're part of this church and you're struggling to get food, please don't do that. Come to us. Let us know. Just say, hey, we need some help. I mean, Don't be shy about that, because we want to help those that need help. We can't help everyone, of course, and we have people calling all the time wanting us to pay their TV bill and stuff like that. You know, we don't pay TV bills. Amen. We don't really even do light bills. However, there is situations where we may do that. But the bottom line, don't do without. And more than anything, don't let your family do without, because you don't have the food that's needed. So Hannah, the name means gracious. I love that name, Hannah. She was a gracious lady. She had a hard life. She was married to a man that was married. He said, what? Well, during that time, polygamy was tolerated in that day. So Hannah's husband also had another wife. And this other wife mocked her and scorned her because she couldn't have children. And Hannah, with a broken heart, craved a child. Now, that's another thing you may have gone through. I personally had gone through that, wanting to have children and not being able to have children for several years. So I know what it's like whenever you really desire a child and it doesn't happen. And when it does, praise God, it changes your world. When I had that little girl in my arms, I knew I was had. She wrapped me on up and around her finger, and that's what that's where they get wrapped with the children. But there's some principles taught by the story of Hannah that we need to look at. And one thing for sure is these principles hold true of anyone. You don't have to be a mother for these principles. First of all, we see Hannah's priority. Her priority, she wants to have children. And you say, well, why does she want to have children? Well, that's a good question. You know, and perhaps that's the reason the Lord didn't answer her prayers right away, because perhaps he wanted her to understand that there's a reason to have children. You ought to have a purpose for having children. Now, why do you want to have children? You say, well, I want to have them to be just like me. Well, that's scary, isn't it? But we do want to have children because we do like to look at them and see ourselves and their faces and so forth and the grandbabies, and it's just all good. It's wonderful. But Hannah had her priorities right, and the desire of her heart was that she would have a child. And verse 10 and 11 says, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She didn't just want to have a baby. She wanted a baby bad. She really did. So she was crying out to the Lord and crying out with her whole heart, God, please give me a baby. And if you've ever been there, you know exactly. You understand what that's like. And some of you have done that, and some of you perhaps have not been able to have children. I think about my Aunt Diane. What a wonderful person she was in our family. I mean, she was like a mother hen, but she never had children of her own. So she helped raise the rest of us. But here's the bottom line is, she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but wilt give unto thine handmaid a man child. I want a boy. You know, some men, they want boys, and they get mad when the wife has a girl. You're just stupid. You just need real intensive help, because you ought to just thank God for your child. And if that child is a female, there's a reason. That's what God wanted you to have. I think of one guy that used to live in Steinhatchee many years ago. He had about 10 or 11 children. He had one boy, the last one. He said, I'm going to fill these woods up if I have to, but I'm going to get a boy. Well, he just about filled up the woods with children, but he did get a boy. But this is exactly the way she was. She was crying out, and she was desperate, and she wanted a man child. Why would she want a man child? Well, you know, women haven't always been accredited as they should be, because I don't know what we would do without our women. I tell you, we'd be in trouble. And our churches would be in trouble, and our families would be in trouble. But she wanted a man child, and she said, "And I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life." Now you stop and think about that. There shall be no razor come upon his head. So she had her priorities set. Hannah knew that according to the Bible, and this is according to the Bible, it's a blessing to have children, and children is a gift from God. Children are not a burden, they're a blessing. So, if they become burdens, my daddy used to know how to change us from being a burden. Amen. Psalm 127 verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." So notice, children, again, are a blessing, not a burden. How many of you have children? Amen. So you know exactly what it's like. And some of you, God bless your heart, and I love you so much, you're raising children again. You've raised your children, and now you're still raising children. Thank God for you. Your rewards will be great, I know, when you get to heaven, because when you see that child or that grandchild that's grown up, and maybe you had to help raise them up just for the fact of them turning out right and becoming Christians and being someone in society that's a blessing to the rest, you'll be very proud that you stepped up and was counted. Because what is going to happen with the children when no one is coming to help them? So there's something wrong in America when little children are being put to death in their mother's womb. Amen. One of the most dangerous places for a child to be in America is in the mother's womb. Something's wrong with that, isn't it? I mean, that's sick, isn't it? Stop and think about it. So there are many women that long to have babies, even as Hannah. And I recommend you prioritize your prayers just like she did. Then there are many women that are set on their careers and selfishly refuse to have children because they're all about their careers and so forth. Well, I know that we're living in a difficult time of where the last thing you might be able to do is bring more children into the family, because you say, well, we just don't have the finances. We don't have the means. It's amazing. We had nothing and was happy because no one told us how poor we was. There's a lot of poor people that are very happy people. If you wait till you can afford a child before you have a child, you probably won't ever have one. I mean, I look at Dana and some of them teenage boys. They probably eat $18,000 worth of potato chips and Pepsis in a 5-year time. You know, they're hollow legged, amen? You can't fill them up. Is that right? So, it's a blessing to have them, but you got to take care of them. And here we go. Listen, children don't make. I heard this quote, and I loved it. It says, "Children don't make rich people poor. They make poor people rich." Well, I love that. You know, I'm telling you, there's nothing in the world that I enjoy more, I think, than seeing my children and my grandchildren. And it's wonderful. Now, they're getting at the age, you know, they don't pay a whole lot of attention to us, but we're around still. But the bottom line, it's just a joy to see those little fellas and see them growing and having fun and all these things. That's part of family. Don't let anyone cheat you out of the greatest blessing you could ever have, to have children, because you think that your career is that important, where your rear is going to be in trouble, even if you have a career and you don't have someone out there to take care of you later on. Who's going to take care of you? What's going to happen? You're just going to go lock yourself up in a nursing home. It's good to have children. And it's real good to have those that will help take care of you if you need them. So Hannah's prayers were before her child was born. That's important too. You know, you say, well, I'm not even thinking about children. Well, you need to start praying about them. Just start praying and say, Lord, you know when it's time and so forth, I want to have children. But here's the thing about it. You need to be like Hannah. You don't want to just have a child. You want to have a holy child. One that's dedicated to the Lord. Now, we don't have a lot of children dedication, I'll tell you why. And I'm fixing to step on your toes. But the reason we don't have a lot of children dedication is because it requires the parents to dedicate themselves to the Lord as well as them dedicating their children. Oh, you can dedicate your children, Lord, but if you're not dedicated as a Christian parent to bring your child into the Lord's house and to make sure they're educated and make sure they get saved, that, you know, if you don't do that, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? So when we have a dedication, and we're open to dedicate any baby, we'll be glad. I'll be glad to dedicate any baby to the Lord, but only if the parents would dedicate themselves to the Lord along with that. Otherwise, it's meaningless. It's meaningless. Now, here's the thing about it. How dare you have children that you're not going to attempt to bring into Christianity? The only hope for their whole, the only hope for their ever-living soul is that they get saved. Amen. Now, you might fail in a lot of ways, but that's one failure you don't want to live with, and that's the fact that you don't tell your children about the Lord Jesus Christ. They live their life, and they die and go to hell, and parents, that's going to be on you, and it's going to be sad. And I say that because people are not listening. Well, there's some people that had been barren in the past. Maybe you are barren today, and maybe you say, well, I'd like to have a child. Let me tell you, God is able. Sometimes we have to do like Hannah. We have to find out, well, what is the will of God? And when she found the will of God through the Word of God, then she received her prayer answered. There was a woman by the name of Sarah that wanted a child. She wanted a child bad. She probably grieved and cried and prayed just as hard as Hannah. She was 90 years old. She finally gave it up. I mean, after a while, your body's dead, you know. You can't reproduce, or at least you're not supposed to. However, in her case, with her 100-year-old husband, Sarah, 90-year-old, became with child. Now, if God can do that, I don't know what your problem is, but if God can bring a child forth from a 90-year-old woman, He's capable of doing anything else if it's in His will to do it. I've known of a lot of women that they wasn't supposed to ever have children, but they did. God still works miracles. He does. Rachel prayed in Genesis 30, verse 1. And when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. And God heard her prayers, and God gave her a son. His name was Joseph. But she was in desperation, and she prayed, and God heard her prayers. I'm telling you, don't give it up until God lets you know for sure. Ruth was barren, wanted a child. God gave her a child. His name was Obed. Obed was the grandfather of King David, which would actually help make up the lineage of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Ruth wanted children. She went through a horrible time, but God blessed her. How about Elizabeth? Elizabeth was well up in age, and what a blessing that God gave Elizabeth John the Baptist. He was fired up in the womb, I'm telling you. He came, he was ready to preach. He even leaped in his mama's womb when he heard the name Jesus Christ, that he's going to be born. And now we come to Hannah. Hannah prayed. God gave Hannah little Samuel. Little Samuel became the greatest individual in the Old Testament between Moses and King David. He was an awesome spiritual giant. Samuel was a great man of God. And here's the thing about it. Because she prayed and said, God, I want a baby that I can give back to you. Don't miss that. She said, Lord, I want a man child, but I want to give it back to you and lend it to you for a lifetime. Well, here's the thing, Mom. Would you be willing to give your baby to the Lord and the Lord's work? You know, there's people that would panic if their child was called to be a missionary. They say, oh, I'm scared to death. I don't want my child to be over there in a foreign land and all that. But there's more mothers giving up their children in drugs and alcohol and drunkenness and all that stuff. A lot more mothers are losing their children from sin than people that are serving the Savior, I tell you that. So here's the thing. What do you want your child to be? The tragedy of unwanted children. How many babies have been aborted that would be great like Samuel? I was talking to my haircut man the other day. Yeah, I do get a haircut occasionally. And we was talking about, with all the babies that have been aborted, how many times has God perhaps provided someone that would have been the answer to the prayers to heal things like cancer and AIDS and all these different diseases, and for perhaps be someone that could come along and help the world? We'll never know, because we have actually snuffed out the life of some that perhaps would have been the greatest blessings to America that we'd ever know. Well, I think about my life. I feel like I've had a life that the Lord's blessed, and I feel very good about the Lord calling me in the ministry. But the fact is, my mother was having some health problems, and the doctors was trying to talk her into aborting me, because she almost died with my brother, and the doctor said, I don't think you're going to be able to have this child. And my mother, she's told me this, and she did, this was, I mean, I was grown whenever I found out. And she said she had contemplated it because she had other children she had to take care of. So she really thought about it. But she, for whatever reason, she decided, no, I'm going to have the child. And of course, I'm kindly glad she did. But I can't tell you how it feels when you find out that you had been negotiated about whether to be aborted or not. That's kind of hard. But there again, God won, and God had a reason for my life, and I'm here. And I'm telling you, it's never an answer to take something's life. Oh, it's just, abortion it will never have the blessings of God on it. And I feel so sorry, because I've, as a pastor, have counseled, many bitter tears have been cried, particularly times like this, for those that have had abortions, and they feel guilty. Well, I don't think you'll ever lose that guilt, but I will say this. Whether you feel guilt or not, you've been forgiven, according to 1 John 1:9, if you've asked God to forgive you. Amen. He is faithful to forgive you. And your baby went straight to heaven. Praise God. So, another thing that Hannah done is establishing her purpose for having a child. Samuel was raised up a Nazarite, a special person, a consecrated person. You might say a holy child. She wanted a man child. She wanted a child that's dedicated for his whole life to the Lord. And she prayed that, and she prayed hard, and God answered and gave her Samuel. Hannah said, Lord, if you will give him to me, I'll give him back to you. Let me ask you that, Mom. Will you make that deal with God? God's giving you that baby. Will you give it back to him? I tell you, you need to. Late at night, early in the morning, your child becomes sickly or whatever. I don't know how you can do it without being a Christian. A Christian mother takes that child in his arms, and a Christian mother spends the night praying for that child. That's what Christian mothers do. And trying to nurse it, or trying to take care of it, and trying to get it well. So if you pray and ask God to give you a child, are you willing to say, God, I'll lend him to you. I'll lend him to you. I'll loan him to you for the rest of his life. Lord, you take him, you use him. Are you willing to do that? You need to be serious if you do that, because God might just do just like Samuel. Look at what God used, how he used Samuel. One of the greatest people in the Old Testament. Do you know why so many prayers are unanswered? I think because we don't pray right. We don't pray the right prayers. Here's a prayer that you could pray. It's in Ephesians 3:14-19. This would be a good prayer for mothers to pray over their children. In Ephesians 3:14-19. Says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what's the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's great, isn't it? Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. So what do you want your child to become? What if they did become a preacher? What if they did become a missionary? What if they just become a regular citizen but a worker in the church? You know, we're not going to tell God what his purpose is for a person, but I'm telling you, if you're born in this world, you are born with a purpose. God has you here for a purpose. And it's not to drink all the whiskey that you can drink, or drink all the beer you can drink, or take all the drugs you can take. No, it's what does God want in my life? What does God want to do with me? And there's so many things that's available for us to do. The fourth thing we see about Hannah is her persistence. She didn't give up. She was very persistent. She knew what she wanted. She knew what she desired. And she put her life on the line. And Eli, he heard her murmuring and carrying on. He thought she was drunk and rebuked her. And she said, oh, no, I'm not. I'm just in remorse. I'm just I'm just broken. I'm sad. And there again, unless you've been on that side of things and you're a parent that wants children and you desperately are praying and it don't happen and year goes by and after a while you get a little bit afraid. You say, well, we may not be going to have children. We might not be able to have. And then all of a sudden when you do have them, what a blessing, a blessing. What a blessing they can be. Now there's mothers here today that you're right with God, but your children may be not right with the Lord. And it's time for you to get serious. It's time for you to get serious about the souls of your children. I'm telling you, we had a 40-year-old man drop dead, a couple weeks ago. You don't ever know what's going to happen. But we can know what's going to happen to us if we're saved. The Lord says to wait on the Lord, be of good courage. So through her persistence in prayer, God gave Hannah a little boy named Samuel. And do you know what Samuel means? It means asked of the Lord. Someone say, well, hey, little Samuel, where did you come from? His mom would be quick to say, from prayer. From prayer, because I prayed for that boy. The fifth thing that made Hannah a great mother was Hannah's persuasive influence. She had an influence on her children. Every year she'd bring that child. Once he was weaned, she was going to bring that child once and for all. But every year she visited him. Every year. I don't know how much time she spent, but I guarantee you she was teaching him about Almighty God. And he was a powerful man of God. Hannah was so persuasive, this woman, that she changed the course of history. Think about it. She literally changed the course of history. Eli was being rejected by God, the priest, because his two sons were committing sexual acts and greedy and taking the offerings of the people whenever they would bring offerings to the Lord. These two sons were taking advantage of these women and taking advantage of their sacrifices. And the Lord says, and you haven't done anything about it. You knew this, telling Eli, you knew this, and you've done nothing about it. So God said, I'm going to do something about it. And God just literally cleaned the slate. And Eli and his family, they were all killed and discontinued. And that's where Samuel came in. So God already had a need for Samuel. He already had a plan for Samuel. He already had a will for Samuel. But whenever Hannah's prayers met God, whenever it became God's will that she have this child, she was able to have a child. Here's the thing. If you change your prayers a little bit instead of praying about yourself and what you want, if you'll pray about what you think God might want, He may answer your prayers. Oh, I tell you, I would love to see some of my family. I heard a preacher say one time, he's talking about his son, and I said, you reckon he's going to be a preacher? He said, I hope not. I was shocked, and I'm thinking, why? Well, I know it's hard. It is hard. But the thing about it, one of the proudest things that you could ever have as a child that goes on mission trips, missionaries. I mean, you thank God for people like that. So Hannah knew what she wanted. She hung in there, and she became one of the greatest mothers there again. And don't you think about, she didn't just give her son up, and that was a done deal. But she lived with the idea of, my son is serving the Lord and I'm going to go see him every year. And she did until she passed.